win a 2-for-1B. Well, if you're talking about two letters in the same envelope like these two, it is actually, you're going to be very disappointed at the result of that. Should we even attempt it? The answer is yes, but you should attempt. Do I know of a case where it's been attempted successfully? No, I don't, but I bet it has. And yes, I think you should attempt it, but the way you should attempt it, I believe, is you should try and sell them the bone density testing first, and with the markup, and then go from there to the high price thing. What I would actually do is tell people they could take a free hearing test over the telephone. And I think you'd have a much better chance than that. But I think you could make some money at this. But for sure, you only want to sell one thing at a time. Okay. Gary, I sell a $197 home study course online. When someone exits from my order page, what strategy do you suggest? One, downsell. Two, special discounts. Survey of why leaving. Four, other. I need to know... I know I need to test, but which one would you suggest I start with? People are going to do tests that prove what I'm about to say is wrong in some cases. But in most cases, I think most cases will be right. And what this guy should do is get rid of his order page and say, it's easy to order. All you have to do is call 1-800-whatever. You should just get rid of the order page. Okay, here's another one. What is an example of a three-step sequence on the web? Well, that would be a website properly designed, and if it's properly designed, it is a sales letter. And then it would offer them to make a telephone call to get a free book or free report/sales letter. And then that would offer them the opportunity to buy something. And you could continue it into step after step. And the other step should be follow-ups to that people that rose their hand. And actually, I know that a lot of you people on here are only interested in online marketing, and I'd like to say something about that. You should not think of yourself as an online marketer or a direct mail marketer or a newspaper marketer or a television marketer or a radio marketer. You should think of yourself as a marketer. And you should market wherever you can make money. You know, if direct mail can make you money, maybe you should also be on the web and make money there. And maybe you should also be in magazines and newspapers and make money there. And maybe you should make money you should be on television making money. But I do think that you should sequence those. And I want to say one thing for you. Another thing. There are only three things that are involved in marketing. There's the product, the pitch, and the delivery system. Now, the product is, of course, whatever the product is. The pitch is the sales piece that sells it, in whatever form it appears, in the form of a letter, a mail order ad, a piece of web copy. And the delivery system is the delivery system for the sales pitch. There's an internet. The internet is really basically, as far as marketing goes, a delivery system. Television's a delivery system. Direct mail is a delivery system. And I would like to rank for you the delivery systems that will most likely give you the best ROI, return on investment. Number one, you absolutely cannot beat direct mail. Followed by newspapers. And after direct mail and newspapers, I don't know where it would go from there, but I actually think other than maybe matchbook covers, the internet is the weakest delivery system in the world. I was recently working with a guy who was making a lot of money because he was mailing 30 million letters a day, emails a day to generate leads. And he would get about 3,000 responses, which were worth about 10 bucks a piece for him. Now that game is pretty much over unless you want to go to jail. But do you know how out of 30 million, what percentage of a response, 3,000, somebody could figure this out on the call real quick, but it's like 1/100th of 1%. And I recently, my most recent lead generating ad, was done by direct mail, and we were getting a 7% response, and you take 1/100th of 1%. So if I got 1%, I was doing 100 times more leads than he is for the same amount of contact. And since we were getting 7, it was 700 times more. Not 700% more, 700 times more. And what it is a matter of math. And people get lost on the internet because they think it is quote unquote free or at least very, very cheap. You want a good way to make money? Take great internet sales letters and transfer them into print. Steal them and transfer them into print.
That's exactly what's happening right now with a lot of the copy that I've written. Is that
it's going to be happening more because I'm taking some of your copy, man.
Well, a lot of the guys that are actually that I've actually written copy for, and we found out that they've worked really well. They sold very well. There's a really high conversion rate. They're now converting those into direct mail pieces and use direct mail. And it's that's a great suggestion there, Gary.
Okay. Here's one. How do you suggest mailing businesses using direct mail? Would you use the business address or try finding the owner's home address? Would you use an envelope or postcards for the most effective response? I actually, on business to business, would absolutely use Federal Express. But in line with the question, I would never send postcards to business people. I would use envelopes. And because people change so much, what you want to do is address it not to an individual. First thing I would do, unless it's a giant mailing, is I would call the company and say, who is in charge of buying widgets? And then I would direct my mail to that person. Now, if you're mailing like a million people, and that's an impractical thing to do, I would write to, the widget buyer for ABC Company, probably, or the advertising department or something. But don't send postcards, and don't send an envelope, and try sending Federal Express, at least if it's worth anything at all. Okay, let me see what else I got here. What do you consider the most important factors in creating, packaging, and marketing ebooks online via sales letter websites? He said he's a business partner of Timothy Brumlick. He told me to tell you hello. Timothy Brumlick is also a good friend of mine, so I'd appreciate it if you'd say hello back to Timothy Brumlick. Timothy Brumlick has more stamps on his passport than Kissinger. I think he's in an average of 3 different countries a week. But to get back to the question, creating, packaging, and marketing ebooks, I think ebooks should be 8.5 by 11 typed letters with a kind of a nice cover on them. A typeset. You might know more about that than I would, Mike. I mean,
The format that has been the winning format for ebooks is in Adobe PDF format. And the reason why is because Adobe PDF, which means portable document format, is downloadable or usable or readable on pretty much every PC out there, on every computer out there, on every Mac computer out there. Most of my ebooks are in Adobe PDF format. And basically what you usually do, and very easily do, you buy, first of all, and every big infopreneur on the internet has this, is either a PDF converter software or have bought Adobe's PDF software. And you can actually type out your book in any, just like a regular, normal book, and then you would convert it into a PDF format. That is the best way to do it. And what I usually do is we have some. What I do also when I write sales letters, for example, is create covers for the book. Even if it's an intangible product, I sort of try to give people a sort of a, an idea or a feeling of what it is as if it was tangible. And then they would easily access that book that way. And when you print it out, it also prints out exactly the way it looks. When you look at that on your computer, it's 8.5 by 11, and it looks like a normal standard book.
You better sit down for what I'm about to say, but I'm going to blow your mind. If you send me something in PDF, I can download it. I can actually do that. Can you imagine that?
Oh, I am totally blown away.
It says, "Hi, guys, what do you specifically do to get into the mind of your prospect?" You know what you do is you just do a lot of work. You read the books that they read. You read magazines that they read. If possible, you go out and talk to those people. It's just work. I mean, you have to find out what they're all about. And you go on the Internet and research them and look at the other appeals that are being made to them. And it's just work. The answer to many of these questions is just work.
Well, here's my little shortcut. I do copy sometimes for people like, you know, not that I have written copy for you, Gary, but people who are like you, who are not really people who type out all of these answers to my big, long questionnaire. They prefer to do it on the phone. And what they do is they record the call and get it transcribed. But that's not where you stop. What you do is when you interview them, you try to get them to open up the floodgates of passion about their product. And what I do often is when I get into a phone call, I three-way the call with another service called idictate.com, idictate.com. It's a 1-800 number that you call. It's free. It's toll-free. Of course, they charge you a penny a word, but they have a real-life transcription. You know, a lot of these speaking software that actually converts your speech into text, they all goof it up. They have to train it and all that stuff. Well, iDictate is actually done by real people, and they send it back to you in an email attachment within a few hours. And what I do is I three-way the call with that service. What I do is when I speak with a client, I ask a few questions, and it starts the ball rolling, and sometimes it's a little slow, until I get them to become really passionate about their product. And they're actually selling me on the product. And you can actually sense the enthusiasm they have for their product. You know, copywriting is like what Zig Ziglar says. You know, it's selling, and it's selling in print. And he says it's transferring the enthusiasm you have for your product into the minds and hearts of your prospect. Well, when I do that, I get this transcription, you know, this transcript in my email, which is basically half of my copy written right there.
That's brilliant. You know, a year from now, I will be giving people that same type of advice and taking credit for it.
I know you, Gary.
Okay. All right.
Hopefully I'll be retired and a multi-billionaire by that time.
You mentioned in your... Listen, this question, before I read it to you, I got to tell you, I had something happen that you talk about making your day. This made my year. There's a guy named Eric Weinstein who used to be my list broker. And he had files of hundreds of control pieces, ads, direct mail, and everything. And he's gone on to do something else. And he was about to throw them away. These are all winning sales pieces. And he said, "I thought you'd give you a call and see if you'd want them before I threw them away."
Oh, yeah.
And I immediately sent somebody up to get them. And it's two giant files of proven winning things. It's the best swipe file that you could humanly imagine. And here's the guy's question. "Hi, Gary. That was a fantastic teleconference a couple weeks ago. I wanted to thank you for your complete no BS tell it like it is style. You mentioned in your talk the list broker who had given you all those folders of tested letters and copy. My question, How can I get my hands on them? Could I fly down from Indianapolis, bring a copy machine, and copy them myself? Seems to me there might be gold to be panned in them there folders. Thanks and regard, a new Sir Gary fan. The guy's name is Mark Broselis. Mark, you can come down and copy them as long as you make a copy for me, because I intend to sell this swipe file because it's a $1 million swipe file, and I am never going to get around to the time to do it myself. You know, I actually hire people to go to the bathroom for me now because I have so little time. So the answer is yes, you can do that. Let's see, the next question. They may not be world-class, but the letters I write are at least average or better. However, the response rates are always less than profitable. Where can I get more responsive lists? I'm going to delete that guy's name. I'm not going to mention that guy's names, but I think the letters you write are not at least average or better. If the response rates are always less than profitable, I think you might want to go back to the grindstone. And as far as getting more responsive lists, what you need to do is dialogue with a good list broker and let them guide you on the list. I'm not going to make any further comments on that. Michael and Gary, what exercises would you all suggest for a novice copywriter to practice getting into the head of a reader, getting to know the target audience in general? I think I've already answered that. It's just a matter of work. This one. How can I raise my prices significantly for a high-ticket service without losing too many customers? The first thing you need to do is you need to make your product or service more valuable. And by the way, if some of you would like to have a relationship with me, a business relationship, and get on the good side of me, I'm looking for people to help me do something. I want to create a course on how to win at online poker. And I would love somebody that plays online poker to, I don't know, you know, you'll know what I'm talking about, Mike. I know what I want, but I don't know how to describe it. I would like to capture what's happening on the screen so I could put it on a DVD or video and advertise, you will see actual hands being played. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
What you're talking about is a screen capturing program. I use it when I do critiques for copy and I deliver it online. It's a program called Camtasia. And that program is actually available at a website called TechSmith, TechSmith.com. You download it. When you load up the program, you click on this button that says record, and it actually records what's going on your screen.
And not just frame by frame, but the movement and everything.
Yeah, everything. It's actually the movements, the clicks, and most of the courses that you see now, the info products that you see online, like John Reese's, Frank Kern and Ed Dale's, are all done with Camtasia. It's an absolutely wonderful tool. I use it all the time.
Listen, I have my the young man I'm mentoring on the phone, and I want to make sure he got that. So would you give that website again?
Absolutely. TechSmith, T as in Tom, E, C as in Catherine, H, S as in Sam, M as in Mike, I, T as in Thomas, H, .com. TechSmith.com, the software is called Camtasia. And I'll give an example. My website, I have a website called thecopydoctor.com. And that website is a membership site where you pay $30 a month and you actually watch me live going through a sales letter or a website. And you actually see my mouse movement. You actually see me write the copy. But I also have a microphone and I record what I say and I critique the copy and I tell it, you know, I actually tear the copy apart. But the beauty is that you actually understand what's going through my mind. And what I see, it's like if you were looking over my shoulder as I'm actually going through a sales letter. So that is the software, Camtasia.
Listen, Mike, that is great information. And this guy, Caleb, I'm working with, he's really not the sharpest knife in the drawer. So could you possibly give him that website again? I'm teasing him, obviously.
Yeah. How about if I just email it?
Okay, just email it to me and or to him or both of us, okay?
Okay, sir.
All right. Will you talk about the first sentence, paragraph of a letter? Not that it's important, that's obvious, but your approach to writing it. Maybe some extemporaneous examples for some fictitious products or services. You know, there is one opening line that is so good, I almost always use it. And I'm getting bored with it. But you know, there's an old advertising truth is that you will get bored with your campaign before the readers do. And here it is. If you are interested in getting rid of your arthritis pain, this will be the most important message you will ever read. Here is why. If you are interested in making money at online poker, this is the most important message you will ever read. Here is why. If you are interested in how to make money online without having a computer, this will be the most important message you will ever read. Here is why. I can't improve on that one. That's a good one.
Well, what I usually do, Gary, if you don't mind, what I usually do is I try to start a story, and the way I do that is by saying, you know, please, and you can say it in different ways, but it's like stop what you're doing, put down whatever you're holding in your hands, and just read every single word that I'm about to read because this is going to and this major big promise that I'm making, whether it's. You know, if you want to start out with, this is going to be the most important letter, I do that a lot. I've done this on, for example, on Traffic Secrets for John Reese, which is I urge you to lock the door and take the phone off the hook and grab your favorite beverage and just sit down and study every single word of this letter because it's about to change your life, and here's why.
Hmm. Okay. I've listened to many of your interviews and tapes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and read all of your newsletters and so forth and so forth. It is obvious you have a lot of ideas, likely more than you can do anything with, hence my question. When you have, say, five things to work with that all seem exciting and interesting to you, how do you prioritize what to do? I tend to work on all five and get bogged down on all of them. Do you have a process that you go through to determine what to work on next? You know, that was something that vexed me for a long time. But when I was in Los Angeles and John Carlton was working with me, we came up with what we call Operation Money Suck. And we would just sit there and think, what thing can we work on that's going to make us the most money in the least amount of time? And that's it. That's what we go for. And I think that's the best way to prioritize there is. Okay. Now, here's a guy. Gary, there's so much stuff out there, I don't know whether I'm coming or going. Even if my budget was $5,000 a month, I don't know what's good and what's not. This host or that host, this autoresponder or that one, this mentor or that one, this dumb website or that one, the deal of the century or maybe all of the next 300 deals. Bottom line, this is BS. So guess what? I'm not buying anything. If I do, the next offer will be better. More expensive and useful bonuses will come with the third. But then two or three will come with promises to spill their guts and give you free all the tools they ever bought or stole for $699. But if you wait 3 weeks, they will sell you all that plus all their buddy knows and has for the special price of $4. Man, it's like incoming fire and nowhere to hide. Maybe if I took a vacation when I returned, you might send me back the money for the newsletter that I can now get for free. You know, I don't think there is an answer to that question.
Well, I think you did answer it already before when you said that, you know, the people that actually do make it are the people that spend the money on their own self-education.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether something becomes free in the future is not an important thing, because the fact is, if you buy something right now, and I'm not saying for buying stuff that has been pirated. To me, people who actually buy products and then go on eBay and then sell it and actually willfully defraud people or willfully steal stuff, that's a whole different idea. And to me, they suck shit, by the way. But if you actually have a product that later on becomes free, that's fine, because at least you were the first one to buy the product and start putting it into use. And if you're not making enough money from that to buy the next best thing, quote-unquote, then there's something wrong somewhere.
Yeah, and you know what you need to understand is that you're living in the world you're living in, and stop being a whiner about it. You know, 2 days ago, I have a couple of cell phones, and I use prepaid cell phones. And I can usually fill them up by just using my credit card, but, you know, they Singular bought Bell South. They made it more difficult. So I found a retail location, and I wanted to put $100 in prepaid minutes on my card. And they asked me, do you want to spend $20, $40, $60, or $100? I said, I want to spend $100. They said, fine, that'll be $110. I didn't even ask them why it was $100. You know, it's not the clerk's fault. It's whatever, you know. I mean, somebody came up with a concept, I think, that is a good one. Everybody has a mental limit of money they're not going to think about. You know, I mean, if I want something, here's an obvious example. If I want something and it costs a dime, I'm not going to think about whether I should be paying a nickel for it. And, you know, there's a certain point. You should establish your point where you're not going to waste a lot of time and energy, some dollar amount on that. I'm about wrapped up with these questions. Do you have any more?
Oh, yeah, actually I'm getting some more right now as we speak. First of all, I can ask you a few more, but did you want to add anything else?
Yeah, I do. I do. I'd like to switch to something kind of serious for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people ask the question about what is the difference between writing for women and as opposed to writing for men. And it's just a variation of my customers are different. What is the difference between writing for rocket scientists and people who like to buy rap music? What is the difference between writing to carpenters and people who writing to computer geeks? The truth is, there is no difference whatsoever to writing any of the group. What you need to do is to be imparting information that's important to those people in the clearest way humanly possible. And I'm going to give you a real good example of that. I'm going to guess that most of the people on this telephone call are not interested in knitting. So I want you to imagine that I wrote the most brilliant ad you could ever imagine on the subject of knitting. And you're reading it in USA Today or someplace. And I offer a great price, which is a fraction of where you buy it otherwise. And the copy is scintillating. Probably no matter how good that copy is, you're not going to buy the knitting machine. In fact, you're not even going to read the copy. Now let's switch to another example. Let's say that you're a man and your wife is pregnant and she's pretty close to being due and you have to be someplace. You just have to be. But you have your cell phone at the ready and you have her or someone else standing by to tell you if your baby is being born. And lo and behold,